Hi, I'm Eileen. I'll be reading from the Boston Sun, Friday, August 21st, 2026 publication. Lifestyle. The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, a musical reading set for Old North Church in October. Special to the Sun. The candles will be lit, the pews will be full, and the headless horseman will ride again inside Boston's oldest surviving church. On Friday, October 9th, Old North Illuminated will partner with Crescendo Productions to present The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, a musical reading bringing Washington Irving's classic tale of Ichabod Crane to life inside the candlelit 303-year-old sanctuary of Old North Church. Actor Johnny Kinsman will deliver a dramatic recitation of the story, paired with an original score performed live by a three-piece ensemble. Josiah Rebstein on bass, Joe Kessler on fiddle, and Tev Stevig on banjo. Guests who want to delve further into the church's past can add a 20-minute guided crypt tour descending beneath the floorboards of Old North Church to learn the stories of the 37 brick tombs holding the remains of 1,000 early Bostonians. Two performances will be held at 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m., with doors opening 30 minutes before each show. Crypt tours run at 6:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. The event takes place at Old North Church, 193 Salem Street, Boston, 02113. Tickets are available for advance purchase only. Single seats are $36, and private pews seating 3, 4, or 5 guests range from $100 to $160. The crypt tour add-on is $12 per person. Seating and crypt tours are limited. To purchase tickets, visit oldnorthchurch.com event Sleepy Hollow. To learn more about Old North Church Illuminated, visit www.oldnorth.com. Boston Athenaeum announces free Community Day open house September 19th, special to the Sun. The Boston Athenaeum invites the Boston community to its fourth annual Community Day open house on Saturday, September 19th, welcoming all residents, visitors, families, and friends across the city to explore the landmark historic building at 10.5 Beacon Street from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. The event is free and open to everyone. Guests will have the opportunity to view rare items from the Athenaeum Special Collection, share stunning views of the Granary Burial Ground, Boston Public Garden, and State House, enjoy live music performances from local artists, and immerse themselves in the architectural beauty of the 12 floors housing over 500,000 books. Scheduled programming throughout the day includes live music on multiple floors, hands-on crafts for all ages, interactive reading discussion groups. Story times in the Athenaeum's Children's Library. The free admission includes access to the two current first-floor exhibitions at the Boston Athenaeum, Where's Boston 50 Years Later, revisiting the 1970s photography of Boston photographer Constantine Manos and Imagine Nation American 250 installation featuring historical artifacts centered around the American themes of citizenship and democracy. Our annual Community Day is one of the best ways for our neighbors to experience the joy of discovery that the Boston Athenaeum ignites in our members, said Leah Rozovsky, director of the Boston Athenaeum. The Athenaeum has something for everyone in the community, and we are so happy to open our iconic red doors to welcome them. Community Day at the Boston Athenaeum was launched in celebration of the 2022 renovation and expansion of the Historic Library, Museum, and Cultural Center. The project expanded the institution's physical footprint and strengthened its ability to host art collections, events, and its members and the public. Founded in 1807, the Boston Athenaeum is a unique combination of library, museum, and cultural center, one of the country's oldest and most distinguished independent libraries. The Athenaeum's circulating collection includes over 500,000 books, from works published in the 1800s to the latest bestsellers. Special collections include active research holdings of significant works of art. Members, visitors, and the community enjoy a year-round calendar of cultural programs. The Athenaeum is a member-supported, not-for-profit institution that everyone is invited to join. Learn more at bostonathenaeum.org. News. City of Boston earns 4-star certified welcoming designation. Mayor Michelle Wu, the Mayor's Office for Immigrant Advancement, MOIA, and Welcoming America, announced that the City of Boston has earned a 4-star certified welcoming designation from Welcoming America, recognizing Boston as a national leader in creating policies, programs, and practices that support immigration, inclusion, and belonging. Boston has been shaped by generations of immigrants seeking a better future and working hard to build the city we enjoy today, said Mayor Michelle Wu. I'm proud of the work our Office for Immigrant Advancement, community partners, and neighborhood and cultural leaders to expand civic engagement, support our communities, and make Boston a city where everyone belongs. Through its certified welcoming process, Boston met the criteria across all 7 areas of welcoming standard. Welcoming America's roadmap for building inclusive communities, government and community leadership, equitable access, civic engagement, connected communities, education, economic development, and safe communities. The recognition builds on MOIA's ongoing efforts through its City of Belonging, You Belong Here initiative, a citywide campaign that encourages every resident to feel welcome, valued, and empowered to contribute to Boston's future. The designation reflects more than symbolic commitment. Boston has built the systems, programs, and partnerships that help longtime residents and newcomers alike participate and thrive. Through the annual Welcoming Week celebration in September, MOIA also continues its citywide outreach efforts to inform residents and share resources so that every neighbor is inspired to support welcoming neighbors. Boston's strength comes from the people who call this city home, including our immigrant neighbors who contribute to every part of our civic, culture, and economic life, said Chief of Equity and Inclusion Mary Engelli Solis. The designation reflects our continued commitment to creating a city where language access, economic opportunity, and belonging are embedded into how we serve residents. As part of the certification process, MOIA led a comprehensive review of city policy programs and practices related to immigrant inclusion. The process highlighted Boston's investment in language access, immigrant leadership development, legal services, workforce development, community engagement, and partnerships with organizations serving immigrant residents. Achieving this 4-star certified welcoming status is the result of a collaborative effort across city government with immigrant communities who shared their experiences, priorities, and visions for the future, said Courtney White, interim executive director of the Mayor's Office for Immigrant Advancement. This recognition celebrates the progress we have made while also strengthening our commitment to continuing building a city where every immigrant resident can access resources, participate fully, and feel a true sense of belonging. Boston immigrant communities represent the diversity, resilience, and innovation that makes the city stronger. Through programs and initiatives, including immigrant leadership programs, community grants, legal services partnerships, citizen support, and community engagement efforts. MOIA works to advance equity and expand opportunities for immigrant residents. Boston's work behind this designation across city government, community organization, immigrant residents who shaped it is what welcoming looks like in practice, said Daniel Valdez, Deputy Director of Welcoming America. It's fitting that this comes in America's 250th year, here in the birthplace of the American Revolution. We're proud to recognize Boston as the first certified welcoming community in Massachusetts and excited to see what comes next. The four-star certified welcoming designation from Welcoming America joins a growing list of recognitions and milestones that reflect how Boston is home for everyone. Among these accomplishments, MOIA efforts include expanding access to immigration legal services by supporting trusted community organizations that provide free and low-cost legal assistance, supporting English for speakers of other language, ESOL, programs that help immigrant residents build language skills, pursue educational opportunities, and strengthen economic mobility. Launching and expanding Immigrants Lead Boston, a leadership program that has trained immigrant residents from across Boston neighborhoods to become community leaders. Creating opportunities for immigrant youth through the Immigrant Youth Advancement Program, which connects young residents with career exploration, mentorship, leadership development, and workforce opportunities. Strengthening community engagement through initiatives such as community office hours, where MOIA brings city resources directly into neighborhoods at Boston Public Library branches. Advancing the city's language access efforts to help residents access government services, information, and resources regardless of the language they speak. From September 10th to 19th, Welcoming Week in Boston will include art, health, education, and economic programming, as well as virtual and in-person events to further promote city services and the seven areas of the Welcoming Standard. To see the schedule of events, visit www.boston.gov/welcoming. Lifestyle. Attending events with dogs. By Penny and Ed Cherubino. Outdoor events can be fun to share with your pup, as long as you ensure the event is safe and comfortable for your dog, and he will be a great ambassador for canines while in attendance. Some seasonal outdoor events, like concerts and fireworks, prohibit dogs, but many of the spaces where such events are held are otherwise dog-friendly. We would never advise taking dogs to firework shows. The noise from the explosives and the presence of people looking up rather than paying attention to a dog in the area could spell trouble for even the calmest of canines. However, in these same spots, you may have opportunities to gather friends, a blanket, a picnic, and your dog for a relaxed evening outside. Concerts and movie nights. Websites like BostonCentral.com provide updated details on events throughout the greater Boston area. These include free Friday flicks at the Hatch Shell on the Charles River Esplanade, Wednesday night movies at Castle Island, and Monday nights at Time Out Market. They also list concert series and will update these listings when the fall schedules are announced. Markets and festivals. Dogs on leashes are welcome at many farmers' markets and locals' festivals. Always check the rules before you arrive. There is a perception that farmers' markets close down when school begins, but many operate into October and some until Thanksgiving week. For example, the Boston Seaport Summer Market runs through October 10th. Both artists and craftspeople will display their work during the Boston Arts Festival at the Christopher Columbus Waterfront Park in mid-September. In addition, October will bring the spirit of Oktoberfest to beer gardens and other sites in the area. Halloween displays and costume parties will follow. You will also find event listings on the websites of specific hosting locations. Check out the Rose Kennedy Greenway events and activities that continue through early fall. Is this right for your dog? Here are a few tips to make these outings more enjoyable for you, your pup, and the people around you. Obviously, if your dog is not well-mannered or not comfortable around either people or dogs, this is not the right activity for you. If you have a high-energy dog, make sure she's tired before the event. At a concert, find a spot away from speakers and watch your pup's expression to see if the amplified sound is causing any discomfort. Bring water for your dog and stash a few treats in your pocket to reward good behavior. Make sure your pup has plenty of opportunities to relieve himself away from the crowd to avoid an embarrassing leg lift on a neighbor's chair. Don't let your canine companion give all dogs a bad name by begging for or stealing your neighbor's lunch. Tick reports are plentiful this year. Be sure to check yourself and your dog for ticks during and after the event. Catch up with friends and neighbors. You don't need an event planned by an organization to spend an afternoon or evening in the great outdoors. Send out a message and have a group of dog buddies gather around a bench with a few extra blankets spread on the grass. News. Suffolk County D.A. Hayden is proud of his many accomplishments, by Carrie Schumann. When Suffolk County District Attorney Kevin Hayden was introduced at a recent political event in Revere, the applause was substantial. Revere Mayor Patrick Keefe praised Hayden in his remarks, stating, "We're here to celebrate our public safety. We have the most sworn officers, police, and fire that we've had in over 2 decades. We haven't had a homicide in the city of Revere in over 4 years. A week later, at an event in Chelsea, residents gave Hayden an equally enthusiastic and respectful welcome as City Councilors Leo Robinson and Calvin T. Brown hailed the district attorney's many accomplishments during his 4+ years in office. Kevin Hayden has done a tremendous job working with our law enforcement officials and protecting our residents and engaging with our community," said Robinson. "He has been highly visible at events promoting public safety, and his office has always been accessible and professional in its immediate response to correspondence and phone calls from our residents. He always has a team present at such events as National Night Out and public meetings." Hayden, who is seeking a second term as district attorney for Suffolk County that encompasses Boston, Revere, Winthrop, and Chelsea, said, "We have accomplished a lot of things in the short time that I've been in office, and we need to make sure that good work continues. Statistics indicate that there has been a significant decline in incidents of crime across the county that has 800,000 residents. Historically, low crime rates don't happen by accident. A lot of what we've done over the course of the first term has helped achieve that," said Hayden, a graduate of Dartmouth College and Boston University Law School. "Whether that's dealing with our juvenile alternative resolution, JAR program, helping our young people and keeping them away from criminal legal system, a program which we've expanded to emerging adults, it has been extraordinarily successful so far. Services over sentences, SOS, an alternative to prosecution program launched in 2022 by Hayden, has been a focus of the DA's office in addressing the opioid crisis. The opioid epidemic continues to be a problem for us, particularly in our south and neighborhood right now, and our focus is on recovery, on getting people we call high risk, high need, into the treatment that they need, the housing access that they need, and to give them the opportunity to build a life that they need, and hopefully, first and foremost, to get clean and sober. That's how we address that problem, that we can prosecute people less and saves lives. We have real proof of having saved lives through our service over sentences program." Speaking about the intervention and prevention aspects of his office, Hayden, who oversees approximately 165 attorneys and 300 staff members overall, noted, "We have our fraud fighters piece, which is primarily geared toward our elder community. But as time goes on, we're finding that our younger folks are very interested in it as well. When you talk about online fraud, phone scams, and the things that are happening now, particularly in this new age of AI, it's a rampant problem. It's one that's hard to prosecute. So we know And we've learned that intervention and prevention are our most useful ways of combating that problem. Telling people exactly what scammers are doing and staying up to date and one step ahead of time, and letting our communities know how they can prevent themselves from being defrauded. Hayden said that retail theft continues to be a real issue. The reality is there is no one-size-fits-all solution in how you tackle that problem, said Hayden. Someone who's homeless and down and out and starving for food, his stealing is a lot different than someone who's running out of a store with thousands of dollars of merchandise at a time and doing that for profit. So we have partnered with our retailers and with law enforcement to make sure we are dealing with shoplifting and retail theft in a comprehensive and effective way. Hayden emphasized that his office will always focus on the most serious and most violent crimes first and foremost. That's what keeps people up at night. That's what people are concerned about. Everyone wants and deserves to be safe, said Hayden. And we continue to focus on violent crime and how to drive it down and how to be better. But we're doing very well in that area. We are seeing historically low crime rates across the board. Hayden smiled when he was asked about the rousing receptions he has garnered at a local events. He knows that there is work still to be done. I'm just extraordinarily humbled by the response I've received in our communities. It's humbling to know that people have the confidence in my staff and me and the work we're doing, said Hayden. I am proud of the work we've been doing during my term. Rome doesn't get built in a day. It takes time to establish things that we've established. The extraordinary successes across every major area. We've also improved the office internally as well from a professional development standpoint, from raising the salary of our assistant district attorneys and all our staff. We've been able to work very closely with our legislature to get salaries increased for our staff. That's very important when it comes to retention and being able to keep people around. And we've also increased the number of staff. We have 40 more people working in the office than we had before, and we continue to work on adding some more. Because if you don't have the people to do the work, then it's hard to get it done. I'm so proud of the work we've done. We have some of the best public servants in the entire state doing this work. We're proud of what we're doing in the Suffolk County, keeping our communities safe, while also continuing to advance important ideas in criminal and legal reform. But we're not resting on our laurels. Boston Public Library announces 2026 Fall Lecture Series, Special to the Sun. The Boston Public Library, BPL, announced its 2026 Fall Lecture Series, bringing award-winning authors, acclaimed filmmakers, and influential visionaries to Copley Square in the Shaw-Broxbury branch this fall, with programs spanning literary fiction, documentary film, and public conversations on science and technology. All events are hybrids, free to attend in person or live via Zoom webinar. Registration is available at bpl.org events. At a glance. September 22nd, Sarah Botstein. September 29th, N.K. Jemison. October 3rd, Ann Patchett. October 24th, AI and Civic Engagement Panel. October 28th, Nicholas Boggs. November 9th, Dr. Kismikia Corbett. Lowell Lecture. Sarah Botstein from Florentine Films. Tuesday, September 22nd, 2026, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Library in Copley Square. As a filmmaker who has collaborated with Ken Burns for nearly 30 years as part of Florentine Films, Sarah Botstein will discuss her latest film, BPS is the American Revolution, alongside historical filmmaking and revolutionary techniques Florentine Films uses to bring history to life. An Emmy-nominated documentary producer, Botstein will be in conversation with Amara Paris Jeffries of Embrace Boston. The Lowell Lecture will be introduced by BPL President David Leonard. Author Talk, N.K. Jemison on Revolutionary Ideas in Fantasy Fiction. Tuesday, September 29th, 2026, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., Central Library in Copley Square. Award-winning fantasy author N.K. Jemisin discusses a 20-plus career built on reimagining what fantasy fiction can do. A 2020 MacArthur Fellow, Jemisin's short fiction and novels have earned multiple Hugo, Nebula, and Locus Awards. Her novels, including The Broken Earth Trilogy, with over 2 million copies sold, have been widely optioned for film and television. 2026, Maury A. Bromson, Humanistic Literary Arts Lecture, Ann Patchett. Saturday, October 3rd, 2026, 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m., Central Library in Copley Square. Best-selling author Ann Patchett headlines this year's Bromson Lecture. A National Humanities Medal and Penn Faulkner Award recipient, Patchett was named one of Time's 100 most influential people in the world and is a member of the American Academy of Arts and Letters. Her novel, The Dutch House, was a Pulitzer Prize finalist, and her work, translated into more than 30 languages, has repeatedly landed on the New York Times bestseller list. Lowell Lecture, AI and Civic Engagement, with Nathan Saunders, Dr. Avijit Ghosh, Jessica Chappell, and David Leonard. Wednesday, October 21st, 2026, 6 to 7:30 p.m., Central Library in Copley Square. Author Talk, Nicholas Boggs, Baldwin, A Love Story. Wednesday, October 28th, 2026, 6 to 7:30 p.m., Central Library in Copley Square. Lowell Lecture, A Conversation with Dr. Kismikia Corbett. Monday, November 9th, 2026, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., Shaw Roxbury Branch. I'm Eileen, and you've been listening to the Boston Sun, Friday, August 21st, 2026. Thank you for listening to the Talking Information Center.